listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Tennis in 10 podcast. I'm your host, Ed McGrogan. And today we're going to recap, or try to, in just 10 minutes, what was Manic Monday. I thought the day certainly lived up to the name it has been given for a while. Seems like that's almost been trademarked at this point. Even Wimbledon.com uses it. And I, you know, that started off really because of a very strong early slate of women's matches. You go from what you, even, you know, the center court match, Venus versus Anna Kanyu, not particularly competitive, but what we saw from almost all the other courts was really some captivating early stuff, setting the tone for the day. Those of you who woke up early to watch right from the start, this was definitely the day to show variety amongst the tours. Really just, you know, I thought some pretty strong play. No matter where you looked, kind of all over the day, there wasn't really too many lulls at all. And, you know, that really, really originally came about because of what we saw in court number two. Starting with Garbiñe Muguruza and Angelique Kerber, the past two Wimbledon runners-up, both Grand Slam champions, and both played, you know, a great match. One of my favorite matches of this tournament goes to Muguruza, 4-6, 6-4, 6-4. Kerber will now not hold the number one ranking after Wimbledon. I believe it will go to either Carolina Pliskova or Simona Halep. And Muguruza, you saw her take advantage, I think, a lot of what Kerber has been missing this year as compared to last year. Her decisiveness, especially with her ability to hit the forehand down the line, the backhand down the line. We just haven't seen as much of that this year. Even though Kerber off to a very nice start in this match, what we saw from Kerber the first week was her getting by some matches that, in particular the one against Shelby Rogers, where it did not look like she was going to make it to the second week. She did, but just barely so. And Muguruza eliminates her, moving on in the tournament. Certainly a grass court threat, as we've seen in the past. And, you know, looking very well this week and trying to, you know, turn her year around as well, starting here at Wimbledon. And the second match in number two court, not as competitive. Simona Halep versus Victoria Azarenka. Halep wins at 7-6, 6-2, and she was up 5-0 in the second. But what you got to see there, I thought, was what makes Halep really a contender for this title. And I think given what happened to her at Roland Garros and given some of the grass court you know, strengths of a lot of her opponents, the rest of the draw, Halep may be overlooked a little bit, but her movement, which she does so well on clay, really works just as well on grass. I mean, you need to cover a lot of ground pretty quickly on grass with a faster ball moving through the surface. You have to get low, and you have to catch up to a lot of short balls sometimes. Halep does that as well as anybody in the game, and took it, you know, certainly showed that as soon as she got by the first set, really ran away with this one. Love what I saw from Halep today, and you really have to consider where she could end up, you know, next week at this time. Could she be holding the trophy? Not out of the question whatsoever. The other, you know, some other strong early matches, Johanna Konta, six-seeded, and British hopeful there, advancing in 2 hours and 12 minutes. That signaled just the start of what we would see in number one court for a lengthy match. But defeats Caroline Garcia in a tough one. And for Konta, you know, it's now going to be, Britain still has her, still has Andy Murray, as we'll get to. I thought Garcia would pose a pretty good challenge to Konta, but Konta's really answered everything. She's played a lot of tennis thus far at the championships, but thus far, you know, still has not looked worse for wear because of it. And I think has really been helped by this crowd, of course, and really just a great opportunity too. Without Serena Williams, of course, number six seed, you're going to get a good draw based on that seeding as well. So Konta really comes off looking pretty well on this day. early on, first player into the quarterfinals from either draw. Svetlana Kuznetsova beats Agarodwanska 6-2, 6-4. You have Yelena Ostapenko, the French Open champion, needing 8 match points, but she got it done against Elena Svitolina, the 4 seed, 6-3, 7-6. Ostapenko not collapsing kind of from such an advantageous position, unlike what Svitolina herself did at Roland Garros. Even though chances to end the match came and went, Ostapenko, undeterred. This has been just a tremendous summer for her. She moves on, as does Coco Vandeweghe, who defeats Carolyn Wozniacki 7-6, 6-4. Vandeweghe's run to the quarterfinals for a second time. And Magdalena Rybarikova defeats Petra Martic 6-4, 2-6, 6-3. That is your women's slate of results. And then from that point, it moves right on to the men. And I thought the best example of how this day went is we're just kind of catching up and taking your breath after this really good slate of women's matches. Didn't even realize that a lot of the men's matches were already, a set deep or so. As you got to watch some of the men's matches, you totally forgot that some others were even on that you were looking forward to coming in the day. I was on Rafael Nadal's match against Gilles Moore because he lost the first set early, and obviously that match went much longer than that and became more dramatic as it went on, completely forgetting that Federer was playing Dimitrov on center court. Didn't even think about it until Federer was already a set and a half up on Dimitrov. Federer cruised in that one, 4-2 and 4 in an hour and 38 minutes. You just wonder where Dimitrov is that we saw at the Australian Open. Just a very, very, peaking early this year for sure for him. Federer just looking fantastic in that one. Early on center court, you had Andy Murray beating Benoit Paire 7-6, 6-4, 6-4. Murray was down a break at a couple different intervals in that, and in the first set especially, but wins in 2-21, wins in straight sets, and ultimately his what he does so well, making you hit so many shots, and also his offense on grass serving, he is, I think, an underrated serve on grass. Takes care of business there, moves on to the quarters. Now, what we were talking about before, Rafa and Muller, obviously the match of the day, probably the match of the tournament, wasn't, not my favorite match quality-wise, only because it was just trading holds and holds and holds, but the drama was there. There was match points that came and went. Rafa started by losing the first two sets, 6-3, 6-4. He wins the next two sets, 6-3, 6-4, and then we got into... felt like Isner-Mahut territory. When I was watching this, I thought we would be heading for something around the 20-20 level of games because both of them were holding pretty regularly. Now, it got quite hairy at the end for both guys. It was a lot of love 30 as we got past the 6-6 point of the match. And Rafa did have to save two break points pretty early on. He ended up saving five overall, I believe, before Muir ends up winning this 15-13 in the fifth in 4 hours and 48 minutes. As you heard coming into this match, it was Muir who had a big bump in his seeding because of his grass court exploits. He does very well on the surface. He has a hard lefty serve. He hits the ball flat, does it well with the forehand and backhand. We saw that all throughout the day. Rafa really never got a great read on this serve, even after all those looks at it. He had plenty of opportunities. Both of them really did to break throughout this fifth set. As I said, once it really got into the overtime, a lot of love 30s, 15-30s. Rafa was really, really gutsy on some of the break points. Came in to volley one out to put away one with a volley. Saved one off an ace. I think he actually gave Muir his first match point with a double fault. I think he did that at 15-30, hit an ace on one of the next points and then served out wide and got a return to go back in net for the other. But it does continue the pattern of Rafa. Since he reached the final in 2011 against Djokovic, he has never been past the fourth round at Wimbledon. This is his second fourth round exit. over the last 6 years. He's only played five of those 6 years. But he's run into the same type of player every single time. Someone who is really going to hit the ball hard. Someone who, can really take what Rafa gives him, the high bouncing ball, and kind of negate it with the pace that comes back. It's what happened today. It's kind of a, topsy-turvy in some ways this match, yet sort of straightforward in the other, just kind of waiting for that first person to blink, and it was Rafa this time. And at Wimbledon, you can't actually be too surprised, although I did think from what we saw in the first week that this might have been the year that streak was finally broken and Rafa would kind of return to those later rounds. Let's kind of run through the remaining matches. We are over 10 minutes here. We'll do a little overtime and pay our respects to the Rafa Mueller epic there that got a lot of buzz. Five setters, couple of them. Milos Raonic beats Alexander Zverev 6-1 in the fifth. That was very close before that, but it was a lopsided fifth set. Raonic, to beat a guy like Zverev, who kind of still waiting for that little breakthrough, thought it might have come here. Raonic can't be underestimated on grass with his serve, obviously. He moves on. Thomas Berdych over Dominic Thiem. That one's certainly a surprise to me, even with Berdych's history at the All-England Club, wins 6-3 in the fifth. He had a 2-1 lead. They split, they alternated the first four sets. Berdych, though, takes out, kind of in both of these matches I just referenced there, the huge serving veterans, take out the younger baselining talents on these matches here. Cilic, Marin Cilic, who benefits, of course, he's going to play Jill Moore, who obviously can give anybody problems, but you have to love where Cilic's spot is right now in this draw. He will play Muir in the quarterfinals. He'll play the winner of Andy Murray and Sam Querrey. Querrey, another five-set winner. There were four five-set matches today. Querrey over Kevin Anderson, 6-3 in the fifth. They had a 7-6, 13-11 breaker in the fourth that went Anderson's way. So a lot of credit to Querrey for sticking within the fifth. And, one of those four is going to be in the final. Obviously, Murray wouldn't be a surprise given he's defending a two-time champion, but just some tremendous opportunity for Cilic to, if he's able to catch, keep it going really here. And you're going to see, we only mentioned seven matches. The other one we didn't mention is Djokovic and Mannarino did not go on today. They were planned to play a number one court after Rafa. That match went late. They could have put Djokovic and Mannarino on center court much earlier. Federer, there was a pretty quick center court schedule with Venus, Murray, and Federer all winning in straight sets. They definitely could have put Djokovic and Mannarino on at least to start. Probably got 2.5-3 hours of play, plus you have the roof if you need for the lights to finish it. Very strange decisions from Wimbledon. They cited safety concerns of moving people around the grounds, because I think they would have had to consider accepting number one court tickets, because they pay for that to get them in center for Djokovic. Or there's a lot of confusion with who is already on center court, had those passes. It was a mess. Wimbledon doesn't look great because of it. You have a roof. This is a day where you should get all the fourth round matches in, so you're all set for the two semifinal days. And now, you're going to have Djokovic and Mannarino put in with tomorrow's women's quarterfinal schedule. Just unfortunate, and it's not great for Djokovic or Mannarino, whoever's going to win that. They'll have to play two days in a row with the men's quarters on Wednesday. So with that said, that will take care of today's Tennis in 10. It's about Tennis in 15, really a wrap-up. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about Djokovic and Mannarino and all four women's quarterfinals from the All England Club. Thank you for listening. This is Ed McGrogan for Tennis.com.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.